Hey, explorers, welcome to episode 334 of the TDR Now podcast. We're the first English speaking podcast about the Asian theme parks like Tokyo Disneyland, Tokyo Disney Sea, Universal Studios Japan, Universal Studios Beijing, Shanghai Disneyland, Hong Kong Disneyland, all those places. You can find us everywhere on the internet under TDR Explorer. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and I'm the one that you see on camera all the time on YouTube, usually stuffing my face and washing emoji down with, I was going to say green apple tea soda. That's not it. Apple tea soda.
The green apple tea soda sounds like it would be really good.
That actually does sound really good. Yeah. And joining us always, as you hear, is the wonderful Patricia.
Hi. I am the one braving the sleet. It snowed today. Kind of. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, I know, like, last year people were putting pictures of, like, I don't know if it was plum blossoms or like the Kawazu Sakura, the early blooming cherry blossoms with like snow. It's like kind of like one of those weird March days. But I braved the sleet to get some doll festival goodies like chirashi sushi and some sakura mochi. So.
Oh yeah,
I tried good, to stay good. Festive in the bad weather.
I didn't go anywhere. I went to 7-Eleven. That was it.
That's a lot today because today was miserable.
Well, it was windy and cold. Like yesterday was 19 degrees Celsius. Yesterday
it was beautiful. Well, it was the Tokyo Marathon too, so really,
yeah, it was
lucky.
Like perfect weather. Yeah. It was clear, sunny, and then today got down to like 0 degrees, and it felt like -7. It said at one point.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it tried to snow. Like for me as a Canadian, that is not snow. I'm sorry.
It was really wet.
It was just, yeah, wet sleet. As soon as, like, part of me was like, okay, if it gets cold enough, it might start to snow a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe I'll run to the park or something. But as soon as I saw it, I'm like, yeah, that's not sticking. That's
no way.
No, that's not happening.
And it was like heavy, heavy, like rain snow, whatever.
Yeah, like when it's heavy, it's like, no, that's not fun because you get cold.
No fluffiness whatsoever.
No, not at all. No. Well, I was trying to tie that story into what we're talking about today.
Misconceptions about spring.
Misconceptions
not always
about
beautiful.
Yeah, I guess that's a good. Maybe that's a bonus one. We didn't include that in here, but misconceptions of like
the seasons, right?
Yeah, like the seasons. Yeah, I guess that's a good one.
You think you come during the cherry blossom in quotation marks season, but the cherry blossoms aren't blooming because it can be very unpredictable.
Yeah, cherry blossoms. You know what? I don't know why we didn't have that in there, but yeah, that's actually a really good one. Is cherry blossoms, they bloom differently, like different time, like roughly around the same time, but it's not always the same. Sometimes it's later, sometimes it's earlier. In this part of Japan anyway, because it's different where you go in Japan. More south you go, it's probably already started. Like down in like the Okinawa, Kyushu area. Or it's about to start, and then it kind of moves along. And then around this area, it's usually like end of March, beginning of April. And then the further north you go, the later it is. Like Sapporo up in Hokkaido is like May is when cherry blossoms happen. Mm-hmm. But that all depends on the weather. We've had years in this area where it was really early, and then some years where it's really late.
They're saying this year that you might look out if you come this year because they're saying it's going to be a really, really long cherry blossom season.
That's what I was reading too. Yeah.
Do you think it'll happen? I'm kind of excited if that's the case.
I hope so. Because
it's very
rare.
That'd
be kind of nice. Because I remember, I don't remember what year this was exactly. This is probably like, I don't know, 2016, 2017, something like that. Mm-mm. Tell me if you remember this. Like it was full bloom, like cherry blossoms went to full bloom in this area. Then we had a massive storm come through and just wipe out everything.
Yes. It lasted like almost no days.
Yeah. It was like a day, like full bloom. Yeah. And then, weather
like,
came
goodbye.
By. And I was like, yeah, no, not happening.
It was so sad that year. I was like, oh no, why?
Yeah. So I guess, this is a. That worked out really well for misconceptions about Tokyo Disney. Well, I guess that's not really Tokyo Disney specific, but good enough. Just because something is in season or supposed to be happening that time of year doesn't mean it's going to.
Yeah.
Everything's unpredictable, especially the weather.
It can be. It can be, you know, sometimes you luck out and it's like perfect. And sometimes, you know, but the one good thing is, as long as you go in with like a good attitude, like even like you're, if it's like terrible weather, like you can still have a good time. And like sometimes like having that unlucky weather kind of works out, like it gives you the best memories because you can look back and like laugh, you know, about it. Like, oh, remember that time it was like raining all day and we were like running and doing whatever. And you'll really remember those days when maybe if it was like a regular day, you wouldn't, you know, as much.
Yeah, that's a really good way to look at it. It just kind of roll with the punches, right? Mm-hmm. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. This topic was submitted by one of our wonderful listeners on Patreon, talking about like asking us to talk about misconceptions at Tokyo Disney. So we got a nice list here because I see a lot of this stuff all the time. These are the points that people hit on social media because it gets clicks, it gets views, it gets reactions. And 9 times out of 10, there's not enough context, or people are pinpointing at a very certain like time frame.
Yeah. And also, you know, it's social media. Like the more extreme it is, the more clicks it gets. And it's like the same with like those camera tricks, like when people take pictures of like the crowds in Tokyo and they use like a specific lens and like a specific way of shooting, that if you took it another way, it wouldn't look as crowded. But if you take it one way, oh my God, there's like, you can't even move for all the people, you know, but it gets more attention because it's like more shocking, right? So whenever you use social media, be a little careful, right? Because you know how it works. You know, like the psychological tricks. So it's the extreme things. If something's really extreme, like second guess it a little bit.
Take everything you see on social media with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. And don't use it as your own.
There's always a grain of salt in it, you know, a grain of truth, but like a grain of salt. What am I saying? Grain of truth in it. But like if it's like super extreme, like it might happen, it might not happen, but probably it's not like that all the time. It's probably like an extreme case. Like maybe the people that went had the misfortune of going during a merch release day or something like that, you know? So like you never know what the situation was when they were there or how they're portraying it, you know?
Oh, exactly. There's all like, and don't use social media as your only source of information.
Yeah. Get like a varied information. Go to like message boards. Go to social media because it's kind of fun and you get hyped up, right? Go to the official websites. Go to TDR Explorer everywhere.
You know? Well, and speaking of that, I'm going to plug our book.
The
2025-2026 version of the TDR Explorer Tokyo Disney Resort book is now out. So I'm sure most of you that are listening already know. You've probably seen it. You probably even bought your copy. If you did, thank you so much. We just released it this past week and it's on sale right now. So if you want to head on over to txplorer.com/books, it's there. You can get just the one guide itself for $21.99, or if you want to bundle it with our snack guide that we put out in November, you can get both of them for $26.99. It's like the best way to plan your trip. Seriously, like we went through the book, we updated a bunch of stuff, we refreshed the vacation package section, we refreshed the Fantasy Spring stuff, and we just went through it and did like some house cleaning. You know, it's giving a nice refresh. So make sure you go and check it out because it is the best way to plan your trip. Seriously. Like, and I'm not saying that because we made it. Like my goal with our guidebooks has always been, I want to be the most comprehensive thing out there because social media is so prevalent. A lot of people try to get all their information from social media and I want to help people have the right information, you know, relevant information. Cause sometimes, just like what we were saying, social media, it's all about excitement and, you know, the clickbaity stuff and the emotions and all that kind of stuff. And
like, it's information. And you do a lot of fact checking. Like, you go and you research the information and you check with the sources. So I think it's really useful.
And some of the stuff in it, like the information we provide, some of it, you know, there's no other way to say it. Some of it is boring. Like, it's not exciting to put on social media, right? Like, it just doesn't lend itself to it. So that's why you don't see it on social media. But you should know it. So it's kind of, you know, it's almost like school in a way. Like, there's stuff that's like, okay, yeah, this is boring, but like, it's good. It's stuff you need to know, right?
I love it. Like TDR 101.
Pretty much. Yeah.
There will be a test at the end of this. No, there won't. Don't worry. The test is you having a smooth trip.
Exactly. And more often than not, people do after they read our stuff because it can be confusing. Trust me. I know. We know it can be confusing. But yeah, go get the book. If you haven't already, please go get it. Link is in the show notes. Just go to the website. You'll see a link for guidebooks, all that. Yeah, go get it. So let's talk about, I guess, we were talking about lines or like crowds. So why don't we talk about the first misconception? The lines are always long or it's always crowded. And so I guess it's kind of...
I mean, compared to what, though? Because I feel like that's at all the parks now. Like, I feel wherever you go,
it's busy.
Like, any Disney park has long lines now, right?
Yeah. Hong Kong, not so much, but depends on where you're going.
Hong Kong is the delightful exception.
Yes. Yeah. Pro tip, go to Hong Kong Disneyland.
It's great.
It's a fantastic park. But we're talking about Tokyo Disney. But yeah. Yeah, this is where we see the stuff with social media and all that, where, you know, people exaggerate everything with the lines and whatnot. So I guess the answer is like yes and no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It all kind of depends on what the time you're going, when you're going, like what day you're going and what's actually happening. Because let's face it, the Tokyo area and just Japan, there's a lot going on. So you're not going to be able to know everything that's happening. Like, I bet you, I forgot to check, but I bet you anything, the marathon weekend caused it to be busy yesterday because people probably went to the park afterwards if they could still walk after a marathon, you know? But like, things like that happen all the time, like these events and stuff, right? So a day that you think like, oh, it shouldn't be too bad, but no, it's slammed and you don't know why.
And you also have like, you know, like it's interesting because like if you're coming from the outside, there's like things that you wouldn't notice, like not living here. Like, so for example, like a lot of young people going to the parks now, like young adults and teenagers, and they have like a totally different like ride preference than like your normal day guests, right? Or like if, for example, it's like in spring or autumn and there's those 3-day weekends and the kids have off because they did their sports day. And then you have a lot of really young kids and families and they're, you know, like going towards special, like specific rides, right? Or like it'll be a certain holiday for like, for example, like Lunar New Year, and you'll have a lot of people visiting from overseas, from like around Asia, or, you know, like it affects like the different crowds that show up and the different crowds are interested in different things. So the lines for some things in particular might be longer during some seasons and really short during other seasons, you know? So it really, really depends.
And there's just a lot of factors.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of factors. But yeah, like for lines, like always being like always long, I guess, like if you want to talk about lines into the park, because I know like that's the one that a lot of people tend to like. Oh,
they love to show that on social media.
They love to show that so much. Like, yes, it does look long. And it like physically, yes, it is long to get into the park. And I know you've seen these videos on social media where people are showing the line getting into Tokyo Disneyland. It's up on the bridge past Bon Voyage. But context,
they
right?
They never show it 10 minutes after when it's completely empty.
Yeah. So like for context for what's happening there, that line is first thing in the morning before security is open. So there's nobody waiting at the front gates of Tokyo Disneyland in particular. No one's waiting there yet because security is not open. So space is limited. So that's why it looked like the line just looks incredibly long, because they, no one has gone into the past security to wait in front of the park gates. But yeah, like you just said, once that opens, things move pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. So, and also people tend to show up on time for park opening. And I think that's because a lot of people come, like they do stay at the hotels, and even the people staying at the hotels, they're usually there at park opening. They're not doing like necessarily like breakfast or whatever. Or a lot of people come for a day trip. It's not like the resorts where people might be like, oh, let's go have a character breakfast and we'll show up around like whatever o'clock. You know what I mean? They are there from like the beginning of the day. So basically you have everybody who's going to enter the park mostly there at that time already. And then once they're through the gates, there's no line like at all. You know, like I would say 10 minutes after opening, it's like fairly empty. So if you don't want to wait in line, which a lot of the times in the summer we don't, because it's really crowded and there's a bit of a bottleneck. So it does take time for like the line to like work through. But like we'll show up like 15, like 20 minutes after and there's no wait, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. If you wait, like if you're not concerned about, you know, getting that first DPA or getting into line right away for other attractions, like right first thing in the morning, yeah, you can come half an hour after park open. There'll be almost no one in line going into the park. It's almost, I don't want to say always like that, but it happens a lot. And so those lines, they're deceiving, I guess, is the best way to put it.
And I would say, I would be careful, like in seasons like summer, where it does get dangerously hot, I would take precautions. I would bring like a parasol, a lot of sunscreen, lots of things to drink to stay hydrated, like little salt candies, because in the morning it is long. The lines are long, you know, and especially if you're there really, really early, which I guess we're going to talk maybe about next. It's not like the lines don't exist, but there's things that you can do to get around that, like either show up later or if you have to get there early, be prepared, you know?
Yeah. And I guess like a good tip is like, if you're someone on a vacation package, you're paying for convenience. Don't put yourself through that. Just come later.
If you have the fast passes, this drives me crazy. Okay. This is one that drives me crazy because I see it like on like discussion groups or whatever all the time. They're like, I have the vacation package with all the attractions included. How early do I have to line up? I'm like, you bought the vacation package with the attractions included. You don't have to. That's the whole point. You can take it easy and enjoy your day. You know, like what? I don't understand it.
Yeah, show up at 9:30.
Show up whenever you want. Have that nice leisurely breakfast.
Exactly. Yeah, I see that. And I always tell people, you don't have to, because that's what the vacation package is for, that convenience. So don't stress yourself out.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like, you'll be fine. Trust me, you'll be fine. Well, I guess, that kind of leads to the next thing. Another misconception is you need to line up at 4 a.m. to get anything done.
No.
No.
Especially not now. Because like now you don't have to worry about entertainment anymore. So like all you have is attractions and maybe some atmosphere parades or shows or whatever. So it's not like you have that much in your day to do that like it's going to like – you're not going to be able to get in or whatever. You know, it's – you don't have to.
No. Don't do it. There's always people that do line up at that time. Don't worry about them.
Have very specific reasons and they're totally different from yours. They're either like a super fan of some kind of dancer or they have some kind of routine that they do, which is totally not even on your radar. So don't worry about it. Those people have like very, very specific reasons because they're in very, very specific parts of the fandom within the Disney fandom.
Yeah, exactly. So don't worry about that. You don't have to be up at 4 a.m. Mm-mm. Like it's fine. You don't have to do that.
You want to experience it? Go ahead. Go ahead. Because it is an experience, you know, but no.
You don't have to do that. You definitely don't have to. Like if you feel like you need to get there early, one and a half hours before park open, that's perfectly fine if you want to do that. Mm-hmm. then
100% agree.
That's more than enough. And same thing with happy entry. If you have a happy entry, hour before it says the time you get to go in, and you're usually fine. So
yeah.
You don't need to be in line for at 4 a.m. Even with the Fantasy Spring stuff now, you don't have to. Like, don't. You don't have to do that. Mm-mm. Don't stress yourself out. Another one is picky eaters will starve.
No.
No. No. There's burgers, there's fries, there's chicken nuggets, just like other theme parks. Like, you can find that stuff too. There's a lot of quote unquote non-Japanese food, I guess. Like they do have some strange foods, I guess, compared to other parts of the world, but
like you're not forced to eat it if you don't want to. No. I mean, it would be nice if you try it, because it might be really good, you know.
Yeah, and restaurants have steaks and like steak and potatoes, pasta, like all that kind of stuff. It's not just, dare I say it, there's not just fish, because I know that's a huge thing that people seem to have in their mind.
It's kind Japan of like, just like wild
fish and seafood.
Yeah. There's like a really diverse culinary culture here, and like there's so many foods to try. But I've gotten that so many times. It's like, I don't eat fish. What am I going to do? I'm like, there's other foods here. There's like a ton of other foods here. Go and try other stuff then, you know.
Try something else, yeah. And kids in Japan,
I would even say, if you don't like fish, I would say give some different dishes a try, because people that say they don't like fish, sometimes like it's a very specific kind of fish, and if they try a different kind, they might actually really like it. So
yeah, no,
be open-minded.
I was the same way. Like back home, like fish is kind of like a couple of things, right? But here it's very like there's so many different types of seafood, right?
And there's so many ways of preparing it, and like different flavors, and like it's be adventurous. You're on vacation. But if you don't like, if you really, really don't like fish, don't worry. You're fine. There's other stuff.
Mm-hmm. And just like I was going to say, children in Japan are like the same everywhere else in the world. Kids love chicken nuggets. You know, kids are just as picky here in Japan, just like anywhere else. So yeah, if you want to just eat French fries, go ahead. You know, like it's there. You're going to be fine. And, you know, there's also outside of the parks at XPR, there's a McDonald's too. Like if you need to go there, you know, like no judgment. I understand. But yeah, that's also there. So like, long story short, you'll be fine. You're going to be fine in terms of food.
100%.
Yeah, like the parks are even getting better with plant-based stuff, which is a good thing.
Finally. Yeah, that's good to see.
Yeah. So things are looking good in that regard. Next misconception is you need a vacation package. No, you don't have to do a vacation package. Does it make things easier, like we mentioned? 100%. That's what they're designed for. But they also cost, I think I did a calculation once, it's like 30-some% more.
Yeah, you're than definitely booking everything overpaying by itself. Yeah.
Yeah, like you're definitely paying for it's a convenience thing. That's what you're paying for. That's how these things work. Mm-hmm. You're paying for a convenience. If you want to kind of like just throw money at it and not have to think about it all that much, then cool, go for it. That's totally fine. But don't think you have to get one, because I see a lot of people stressing about that, thinking they absolutely have to get one and then stress out when they can't. You don't.
Oh my gosh.
You really don't. No. These parks are manageable. Yes, they work very differently than the U.S. parks, but you know, I'm just going to plug the book again. Get the book, because the book will tell you exactly how everything works. And you can manage these parks perfectly fine without a vacation package. You just have to, you know, plan a little bit more, of course, and kind of just get familiar with things a little bit more closely and have just a plan in place. Mm-hmm. So you can do it on, you know, whatever works within your budget. Like, you don't have to break the bank to go to the parks here.
Not at all.
Definitely do it.
You can get so much done, like, without, like, I would say even without any planning, you could get a lot done in a day.
Like, as long as you have, like, the biggest thing I tell people is look ahead of time and, like, prioritize, like, the top three things you have to do.
100%.
Top three things and make those your priority. And then everything else is, you know, it's gravy after that, you know, it's just like a nice little thing. Mm-hmm. So.
And I think sometimes that's the best way to enjoy the parks, like do your top three and then just go and explore and find like those little delightful things that you just happen to bump into, like a cast member arranging autumn leaves or cherry blossom petals into like a character image or something like that, you know, and just go and have fun, like just enjoy your day, you know?
Yeah, like that's what these parks are for. And I've seen how things have changed, and going back to social media, everyone feels FOMO, right? And like they have to do all these things, and it's like you don't have to. Like, yeah, like if you want to do it, that's perfectly fine, but you don't need
to do it all.
And you're not going to be able to do it all, so don't stress yourself out. Just prioritize what is important to you. Like maybe you don't care about Beauty and the Beast, and that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. Maybe we won't be friends, but that's perfectly fine. Beauty and the Beast is a, like, I don't know. If you go to Tokyo Disneyland, don't do Beauty and the Beast. Why are you even going? That's my opinion. But hey, if you don't want to do it, that's perfectly fine too.
But like, if you've done it before, like I can see it though.
Like if you do it,
it's your first time, you should do it.
Yeah, you should do it. But yeah, I'm just going to keep telling people, prioritize top three things or even top five. The things that you need to experience and then kind of go from there. Mm-hmm. Like our parks aren't like Disney World, where Disney World has so many, like there's four parks, right? And a million resorts, mm-hmm. and then the water parks and then all these other things. Like you don't need to go to that level of planning for Disney World compared to here. But here, obviously everything just works very differently. So if you're going in blind, you're probably going to, you know, drive yourself nuts. But
and I feel like the Disney World one in particular is so convoluted. Like it is like, yeah, there's different systems in place here, but I feel like comparatively it's much easier.
Because I guess if we want to talk about like the DPA stuff, mm-hmm. like Disney Premier Access, Standby Pass, Entry Request, like the names are all convoluted. Like that's probably the most confusing
part.
Once you kind of read through it and understand what they're all for, it's pretty straightforward after that. And it's all done. All that stuff is done on the day of your visit. You don't have to like, because I know at Disney World, it's like, oh, if you're staying at a resort, you can start
like how many months in advance
for attractions at this time. And, you know, all these kind of strategies, like I don't even bother reading them because it's just, I don't want to do that. But for here, it's just like, okay, again, know what your priorities are. Once you're in the park, it's like, okay, I'm just gonna use Disneyland as an example. You go in, you're like, okay, you know what? I know I want a DPA for Beauty and the Beast, and I want a priority pass for Pooh's Honey Hunt. Okay, well, while we're doing that, we're going to get in line for Monsters Inc. I was thinking about Monster Hunter World, that game that just came out. Like, get in a standby line for Monsters Inc., buy yourself the DPA for Beauty and the Beast for sometime later in the day, and then get the free priority pass for Pooh's Honey Hunt. Boom, there, you got three attractions done within 10-15 minutes of stepping in the park.
Oh my god, and can we talk about that for a minute too? I feel like that's another like misconception, is like when influencers cover like Tokyo Disney Resort or I guess like anything, it's like this is the one that you have to do. But like you just mentioned Monsters Inc., and like Monsters Inc. is delightful, and it's original. It's not a recap of the movie. It's like got a really cute concept, and it's great, and it's got tons of animatronics. Like I think that's like really amazing, and nobody covers it, you know what I mean?
And like, yeah, like everyone says to go to Beauty and the Beast, which, you know, I've said before too, it's a phenomenal ride. Like, don't get us wrong. It is a phenomenal ride. You have to do it. But it's just like, you know, just tweak how you do things. Like, yeah, you can run to Beauty and the Beast first, but if you want to buy the DPA, then go for it, you know? And then you can get in line for something else that doesn't have a pass, right?
Mm-hmm. And so don't miss out on it just because it wasn't covered by an influencer. You know what I mean? Like, do your research, see what kind of attractions they are, and look at what the story is, and look at what the description is, and you might find some really cute hidden gems that nobody's talking about.
Yeah. And I guess like harping on the book again, we talk about those things. We talk about those things. And like, yeah, again, it's like those things that aren't super exciting to put into a 30-second video, right?
Yeah.
So it pays to read, people. It pays to slow down and read things. It really does. But yeah, long story short, vacation package, you don't need it. It makes things easier, 100%. Don't feel like you absolutely have to get one. Like, you could just book a hotel and that's perfectly fine too. Save yourself some money.
Yeah.
And just, you know, get there a little bit earlier and you're you're still going to have a good time. Seriously. You're good. Moving on. Another misconception. If you don't speak Japanese, you won't understand anything.
No.
You're fine. If you don't speak any Japanese, like if you came here speaking absolutely zero Japanese, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're going to miss some stuff. But for the most part, you can navigate these parks with zero Japanese ability. Because all the signage is in English. Pardon me. All the menus, like at the restaurants, are in English. The app is all in English. We now have, like, the technology is pretty decent. So you can use apps like Deeple to communicate with people who don't speak English. Mm-hmm. Because that's another thing. Don't assume people speak English. A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't.
Had an experience like years ago, and we helped this lady who was like distraught because everybody was speaking to her in English and she did not speak English.
Oh, and no.
She's like, I don't know what they're saying. She spoke Spanish and I was like, hey, do you need help? She's like, yeah, I'm trying to get to like my hotel. I forgot how we met. I think she was trying to get through her hotel. She didn't know she had to take the monorail. And I'm like, no, you can just go this way. And like everybody was speaking to her in English and she did not speak English. So it was a bit of a dilemma. But like you said, that was years ago. And now we're so fortunate that with technology, we can use our smartphones as translators. There's a lot more resources. The app, I think, has multiple language. I don't think it has Spanish, but it has, I believe, other languages like Korean and Mandarin. I'm not 100%. Does it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, Korean and Mandarin.
It does, right? So it's available in multiple languages. So it's better. It's much like, gosh, we're so lucky today that we have all these things that can help us, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So don't let the language barrier bother you. Like there are going to be instances where communication will break down.
Sure.
It's just going to happen. You're traveling to a country that doesn't speak English. It's going to happen, but you'll be fine.
And
especially if you're the interaction that will probably confuse people the most is probably shopping. Shopping probably be the most confusing.
Oh, like the credit card thing, it's a one-time payment, and you're like, what are
how many payments do you want to do? And then like,
the never-ending
questions.
Tokyo
Disney itself is not bad, but like it's shopping easier. Other places.
Yeah.
Yeah, like outside of the parks, it's just like, do you have a point card? Do you have this point card? Do you need a bag?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, what size of bag do you need? Do you want me to heat this up for you?
Do you need the dry ice? Chopsticks? Would you like a wet paper towel? Hand cleaner? You know?
That happens.
It does. No. Like, and sometimes there'll be like so many questions and I'll be like, yep. And they'll be like, what was that one?
Sometimes like, I just try. I think Japanese people do that too, where they just kind of turn their brain off. It's just like, there's so many questions. Like, I don't care, man. I've done that before where I'm just like, I don't care right now.
it's not too bad. And I would say like Japan, out of like the countries in Asia, is one of the easier countries to visit. Like, I mean, I know like if it's your first time, maybe you've never been overseas and you look at the writing system, you're like, oh, this looks really scary. But it's really, really easy to travel here. Like, it really is. So don't be hesitant. Don't be scared. It's very like international friendly for like all kinds of countries. So don't worry.
And Japanese people are very good at hand gestures.
Yeah.
Very good at hand gestures.
And check out your local tourism office. Like whenever you're in a new city or town, go check it out because they'll probably have information in multiple languages. People are really friendly. They want you to come. They want to tell you the good things about their city. So go check it and get that information and go out and explore. Like not just – I know we're talking about the parks today, but yeah, like it's – trust me, it's fine.
And yeah,
like, and people be excited to help you, like at the office. Like, don't go to a random person on the street; they'll probably help you too. But go,
yeah,
like the official the information place.
Yeah, places. Yeah. That's like, what they're there for.
Exactly. Inside the park, the information office, outside the park at the various tourism offices, they're there and they're excited to let you have a really wonderful trip.
And yeah, I guess for Tokyo Disney in particular, they'll usually have someone that speaks your language at the guest services. Usually, yeah. They usually have someone who speaks English, and then they'll have someone who speaks Mandarin, someone who speaks Korean. Mm-hmm. I can't speak to other languages. Maybe Spanish.
Maybe French. I feel like French is kind of popular here.
Yeah. And
maybe
like,
Thai?
Maybe. Yeah. It's like once you start getting out of like the three big ones, like Mandarin, Korean, and English, it's kind of like hit or miss. But I guess if you're listening to this podcast, you probably understand English, so I think you're fine.
that's true.
And I guess like another thing, I guess I'm just spouting tips. If you do encounter someone who doesn't speak English when you're communicating with them, just like break down what you're saying. Like don't speak to them as if they're a native speaker, but don't talk to them. Like, don't talk down. Like, am I saying that right? Like, just like simplify what you're saying. That's a better way to say it. Simplify what you're saying just to make it easier. Cause you know, I'm not like, it just makes communication a lot easier. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't even think of an example, to be honest. I guess like, instead of saying something like, oh, is it okay if I pay with credit card? That's all I have. Don't say that if the person doesn't speak English. Just hold up your credit card and just say credit card.
Credit card?
And like, that's perfectly fine. That's more than adequate, you know? Things like that. Cause like I've seen situations where there's someone who is an English speaker and then there's like the Japanese person doesn't speak any English and the English speaker is kind of like flustered and frustrated and they're just kind of talking. And the poor Japanese person has no idea what's being said.
Mm.
You know, it's just like, that's not helping the situation, you know?
Yeah.
Communication breaks down and stuff like that. All right.
Oh my God, love the next one because like, I feel like this is like in general, like it became really popular on social media.
Things not to do in Japan as a tourist.
They're like, don't do this. Absolutely do not do this. And it's like, oh, I'm like, okay.
Okay, calm down. It's fine. No one's going to arrest you.
I mean, nobody's going to, like, I mean, there's okay, we'll say what it is.
Yeah. To a misconception, you can't eat and walk at the same time. I guess, like, for the parks in particular, no one cares. There's popcorn, there's hot dogs and stuff. Japanese people walk around with these foods inside the park and eat. It's perfectly fine. Within, like, obviously you're not gonna be walking around with like a burger and fries eating them. Like, I guess kind of have like, for like, be considerate to those around you, you know? Like, if you're walking around eating a churro, that's fine. Walking around with eating popcorn, that's fine. Like, if you're eating food that is meant to be held and walked around with, that's perfectly acceptable at the parks. Japan, I guess like the only exception, I guess, would be attractions. They may not let you in line with food.
Yeah.
Like any food.
Or like, or it has to be covered.
Has to be covered, or they're going to tell you like you have to finish it before you get in. Exactly. Kind of thing. Like, that's like really the only thing. And that's it's more of just a cleanliness thing.
I mean, it's kind of common sense too. They don't want you going on the attraction with like an open drink and like they don't want popcorn flying around on Tower of Terror or something, you know?
Yeah. Can't do that. No. But yeah, I know a lot of people just, again, social media, you're not supposed to walk and eat. It's very rude. In the parks, you're perfectly
fine. There are exceptions.
There's exceptions.
And also, like, it's partial. It could be considered rude, but it's also considered, like, how to say, like, it's better to sit and eat because if you're... I don't know how to explain it. Like, if you are like, there's the chance for accidents if you're walking around eating. And also, yeah, like, it's just like you're taught, like, little children here are like taught from a young age, okay, you're eating, sit down. I think there's like multiple reasons to it. Like, partially it's like kids are, they will create a mess if they're, you know, running around with, yep, food. And like, it's like just like instilling like a good habit, you know, you sit and you eat, you know, like you focus on your eating, you're done. And then, you know, then you can pick up and go. But it's not like people are going to like be like, oh, I'm shocked. Like, oh my God, look at that person. They're walking around with an ice cream cone or something, you know?
No.
And it depends on the situation. If you're buying it from, if you're buying a crepe from the crepe stand, which is outside, yes, you can walk around with it. But here's the other point to sitting down and eating. You might not run into a trash receptacle. And if you are sitting down and eating next to where you bought the food, then you can return the garbage to the vendor where you bought the food, and then you don't have to carry it around with you, right? So there's also that aspect. There's like multiple aspects. It has to do, yeah, with manners. It has to do with good habits. And it's also practical. So like, there's a lot that kind of goes into it. And it's like different from like, if you're at a festival where there's a lot of food vendors, for example, people, it wouldn't be weird to be walking around eating, especially if you can't find a place. There's like a lot of people everywhere to like sit down and eat, compared to like, I don't know. I did see like, I have seen some weird behaviors. Like, I have seen somebody on the train eating noodles and I'm like, oh, that's a lot. You know? I don't know if I would do that.
I've seen stuff like that too. I'm like, oh, what are you doing? One time someone, like, I don't think they were eating it, but they, yeah, had like, they had KFC on the train.
And
I was like,
really strong.
Oh my goodness, this smells so strong. Like,
yeah,
don't get me wrong, I love me some KFC. I had some last week. Mm-hmm. But it's just like on the train, it's like, I don't want to be smelling this right now because you're making me really hungry. Yeah.
So like there's a lot that, it's not like a hard no, don't do it. No. But like just use common sense. And if you are walking around with an ice cream, like, don't swing your hand around and, like, you know, get, yeah, ice cream on somebody's clothes, it's kind or of something, a, you know?
It's very, it's a, there's a lot of layers to it, right? It's,
yeah,
not as simple as what, it's not black and white,
yeah,
that people make it on social media. Like, okay, if you, like, let me use an example outside of the parks. Like, let's say you go to Family Mart and you get Famichiki. Right. And then you just decide to walk down the street eating it. No one's really going to care.
Yeah.
No, like you might get a weird look from someone, but most people are not going to care.
It's like, don't brush up against me with that Famichiki. I do not want that on my clothes, you know?
Yeah. And like, of course, like don't go into a store with food and stuff like that. But yeah, I think that's kind of like anywhere.
It's not
really
a good idea. Yeah.
That's not necessarily a Japan thing, but
if,
yeah,
it's a Starbucks drink, nobody's gonna care. For example, like if it's like you get like tapioca, or if you get like I feel like drinks are more flexible in general,
yeah,
than food.
Yeah. Well, it's just like I guess like I've been living here for so long, and so have you. I just instinctively, if I buy something from the convenience store, I just eat it outside the convenience store.
Cause it's, yeah, again, it's or more like just take like, it, or take it home or something. Yeah.
Or
like,
take it home. Yeah. Cause drinks, again, it comes,
kind of funny. Like, I trained myself. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like I've trained myself with like drinks, like coffee. I'm like, oh, I don't want to carry this on the train while I'm also carrying my bag. And I also have like this tote bag or whatever, because it gets uncomfortable after a while. And then you finish drinking it and you're like stuck with it. And you're like, oh, now what do I do?
Yeah.
So like it's good to like just toss it when like stay and then toss it when you're done, you know, like same like with the convenience store food, you can just toss it in the garbage that they have there. So
And like same, and I guess going back to Disneyland for now, there's trash cans everywhere.
Yeah,
quite literally everywhere, so you're fine. Like people even go like when they're waiting for the parade, they'll go buy food and go and eat it at their spot that they're waiting for the parade.
But they're sitting. See, that's the difference.
They're sitting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
feel popcorn, yeah, popsicles, drinks are fine. Or like handheld drinks, like handheld food, like the ukiwa bun and things like that are fine. If it's like a handheld food, don't worry about it. But if it's something more complex where you need utensils, try to avoid it if possible. Yeah.
Sit down and eat it.
Sit down.
And yeah. And I guess like this is more just a general thing. Like there's a lot of unwritten rules in Japan. Mm-hmm. I still make mistakes with some of them. but like that's more stuff like if you're visiting, you're never going to encounter anyway. So I won't even bother mentioning them. But, you know, I don't know about you, Patricia, but I'm sure there's probably still some stuff you kind of like, I know this is an unwritten rule, but I don't really understand it. So
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, yeah. There's things that come up and whatnot. Like one thing that was kind of, I don't want to say beaten into me. That makes it sound bad. But when I was a exchange student here 20 years ago now, oh my goodness. I remember because like I was just kind of thrown into everything. I knew nothing. Like I didn't know any Japanese, nothing. But I went to like a full Japanese high school, right?
Yeah.
Talk about just being thrown into the deep end. I remember I was told I had to go to like the teacher's room. Is that mm-hmm. what they call it here? Teacher's room? You know, because like teachers like all office. Congregate in their office, right? Like yeah. they don't sit in their own classroom. They sit in a big office where all the teachers are.
Yeah.
I remember I had to go there and like no one explained this to me. I remember I went there and I was nervous, right? And I remember I went there and I just kind of I just opened the door and walked in. Mm-hmm. Oh, you cannot do that.
Oh,
you cannot just walk right in. Like I had it like I was given a little bit of leeway because no one told me. I had no idea, but it was kind of like I was given a stern talking to. It's like, no, when you go in, you knock and then you have to say, shitsure shimasu, you know, like that kind of thing.
Especially if you're a student, man.
So, the whole what's the word? Hierarchy.
I feel like that would be so
respect. Cool.
Yeah. Like, especially like the senpai kohai thing too.
Oh, would be really
a bit of a shock, right?
I made that mistake once. Never again. And like, it's like, I don't know if it's like
expected to know that. You know?
I know. Like it wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
I was 18 years old. Like, how was I supposed to know? Mm-hmm. But
you didn't grow up in the system. So it's like unfair to expect you to know that.
Yeah. But I guess like they're trying to treat me like everybody else.
Yeah. Like they're trying to like, oh, you do it sternly this one time. He'll never repeat the mistake again. But it's like a bit cruel, isn't it?
But now I have like, now that I think about it, I have like this, I guess, trauma. Maybe.
Oh, no.
So like anytime I have a sliding door that I have to open to go in somewhere, I still do it. Like even like there's a pharmacy I had to go to and they had a sliding door. I just opened it up. And I was like, oh, shitsure shimasu.
But it's a good habit. It's a good habit to know. So it kind of, I guess in a way they did you a favor.
And it was funny because I did that because it's like a pharmacy is like a public place, I guess, like a store. Mm-hmm. So you don't really have to do it in that sense, but I did it anyway. And
it's polite.
Yeah, it's very polite. And the older woman that was behind the counter, the pharmacist, she kind of looked at me and started giggling. She's like, oh, that's.
Aww.
She's like, she wasn't expecting that. She's like, oh, that was very lovely of you to say, you know, kind of thing. It was, it was very funny.
And like, if you go to the countryside, like I know in the city, like most of us lock our doors, but in the countryside, the genkan is like, I think still today considered like kind of like public space. So people might knock and walk into your genkan area, like say, shitsure shimasu, mm-hmm. like walk, like knock and walk inside, or, you know?
Ojama shimasu.
Yeah.
I guess it's usually friends,
well, that's like when you're entering the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But like if you're like a delivery person until, or something.
Yeah. I learned that from, Japanese friends, because like, you know, Japanese friends would come over and like they'd always come in and they were like, oh, ojama shimasu.
Yeah,
and
you have to say it when you go in the house.
Yeah, for those that don't know, like jama, I guess like jama just like literally translates into like being a nuisance. Uh-huh. So you're like, I guess you're just saying like, oh, pardon me for being a nuisance, or pardon me for bothering you. It's kind of what you're saying. We don't have an equivalent in English because we don't say that. We have, I guess it kind of depends on where you grew up.
What do we say? thanks for inviting me, or
like... it almost sounds like you're a vampire, you know? Yes. Yeah, like there's nothing we really Like, at least, like, where I grew up, like, you just kind of knocked on the door and just, oh, like, if you knew the person, you knocked and you just went in and be like, hello. I guess you just say hello. You know, like, that's really it. Like, there's nothing, it's pretty informal, yeah. I suppose.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Japan, you know, no, there's different hierarchy and there's how different, you say like, rules. Depending where you're going in.
And, like, yeah. I guess, like, if you grow up in it, it's, like, really kind of, like, you're so used to it, you know?
It's kind of comforting.
Like second nature. Yeah. It's just like comforting. The routine.
I don't know. Mm. Like, when I guess like for me as a foreigner too, like whenever I go, like whenever I visit like Japanese friends and like, especially when I'm visiting, like I have a longtime friend. I met her when I was here in 20 years ago. And whenever I go to visit her and then we go to visit her parents, cause I love seeing her parents. Her parents love me. Cause they're kind of like my Japanese mom and dad. Outside of my host family. Aww. So like whenever I go over, you know, I always just say, oh, ojama shimasu. And like aww. The mom, she always just gets so happy. She's like, oh, it's so cute. Great. It's so cute. But then like yeah. The dad, he loves to practice his English with me, which is, you know, that's perfectly fine. It's really cute. I guess like this is like a complete aside. I may have told this story before. I don't remember. I just remember one time I was
maybe
I don't know, it might have been a bonus episode, I'm not sure. But I remember there was this was probably a decade ago, I was over there visiting and we needed to drive somewhere, so the dad he was driving us, and he was very happy about getting his Android tablet or something connected to his car, right, for to play music or whatever.
Cool.
And he started playing Whitney Houston, which I'm like, okay, cool. You know, we all love some Whitney. And then when we were when we were stopped at like a stoplight or something, mm-hmm. he turned around and I don't know what was going through his mind. He just turned around and said, like, looked at me deadpan and said, "She dead." I was like, I was like, she is. He's like, yeah, she dead. I'm like, yeah, oh, yeah, Whitney, yeah. Poor Whitney. God rest her soul. But like, it was just like the most deadpan thing. And I just tried not to laugh because like he was trying to
communicate. Express, oh, she passed away. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
But she's like, she dead.
Oh, no.
So like to this day I still laugh about it because I just think it was cute. It was really like, cute.
You were cute, blonde. Oh, and cute. Oh, poor guy.
so good. Oh
yeah.
I need to go back and visit them. I haven't seen them you for should. Years.
Yeah.
I have to go back up. It's always fun. Anyway, that was a complete aside. Just you know, things you learn and experience living here for so long, right? Let's move on to the last one.
Oh my god, this one,
and I know
mildly infuriates me.
Yes, this one gets you heated.
No, because if it's like a rando like tourist, I'm like, okay, I can understand, like it's easy to like not get the concept, but like I see a lot of massive Disney websites and Disney bloggers like that are like not like small entities, they're like they're very like well known, right? And I keep seeing this going around and they'll be like, wow, Tokyo Disney Resort is not only the best resort but it's so cheap and the Japanese are so lucky that it's so cheap for them. But just because it's cheap for you doesn't mean it's cheap for us living here.
Mm-hmm. So I guess
it's called an exchange rate, currency exchange. Yeah.
I guess like the misconception can be said here is Tokyo Disneyland is cheap in terms of its pricing. And no.
It's really not.
No, it's not.
It actually used to be. I think, you know, like I would say 20 years ago, it was massively underpriced, even for us living here, for what they were offering. But it's really not. No, it not cheap. Just because your exchange rate happens to be very good at the moment does not mean it's cheap for the people of Japan living here.
Yeah, like minimum wage here is like 900 yen an hour, 950 yen an hour. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Like depending on like, I guess where you, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you want to put that into US dollars, that's like $6, you know, so it's not a lot.
But it's they're not also not getting paid $6, right? Like in no. like how we no, live. No. Right?
Yeah, it's, so it's like, they're getting paid in yen.
Can you imagine if the way we lived was based on various exchange rates? Like sometimes we'd be getting paid so much, and then suddenly we're getting paid so much less. But no, we're not. For us, it's relatively stable.
like a good example is I know we talked about it before, but like the price of the waffle, I have a picture of it. It was like 450 yen or 400 yen or something.
Cheap. Yeah.
Like four or five years ago.
Yeah.
It was 400 yen for the waffle and it came with more stuff too.
Oh yeah. It was
but really, now
yeah.
the waffle is 860 yen or almost 900 yen
that's
with
ridiculous.
Like a couple little accoutrements on it and that's it.
And you have to wait in a long line. The line got super long.
Yeah. And our park tickets have gone up significantly.
Yeah.
Like doubled in price, basically. Because mm-hmm. remember, they were like a day ticket.
Oh, it was like so cheap. Like,
like 600 yen.
The after six pass used to be ridiculously cheap.
It was like 3,500 yen or something.
Yeah. And it was easy to get into restaurants. So you could have a nice course dinner, watch a show, do a couple of attractions like within that time very easily. And now it's like much more expensive. It's almost like what our day pass used to be. And there's no way you'll get all of that done. It's impossible. You can't get into like the course restaurant like at the last minute. You might not be able to get like fast passes for attractions. So yeah, it's not cheap for us. And like what you get is a bit less than what you used to get before.
Yeah. And like, I guess wording matters, right? So if you want to express, you can say, you know, it's lucky for you. Like,
it's not lucky for the Japanese people. Like, how is it lucky for us that you get it?
Yeah, it's really not. No.
You know, I don't understand.
Like, you can say, you know, it's more of like if you're talking about like as someone who has gone to the US parks, whatever, you can say, you know, Tokyo Disneyland is more affordable than Disney World. I think that's fine to say. But don't say that Tokyo Disneyland is cheap and it's cheap for us living here. It's not.
Yeah, I mean, you can say it's cheap for you. Like, wow, it's really inexpensive for us right now. We're so happy. It's lucky for us. But yeah, just don't assume that we're paying the same price as you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 Oh, I think we covered a pretty decent chunk of misconceptions. Yeah, we
had like a good variety of topics too.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's anything, like, if you're living here or you used to live here, like, do you think there's anything that we missed? Like, like any misconceptions of the park? Like, let us know.
Please tell us. Let us know. Tell us, yeah. And, yeah, thank you for the suggestion, by the way.
Yes, because we always ask for suggestions and nobody ever gives us any. So I was so happy.
Yeah, so please, more. Give us more suggestions.
Who suggested it?
I forgot to write the name down. I apologize.
Okay, we'll find out and thank you next time because thank you.
I'm going to pull it up right now. Just give me a second.
Yay.
I should have done this ahead of time and you know, I'm terrible, but that's okay.
No, but I got so excited. When you said that, I got so excited. I'm like, what? Somebody left a comment. Somebody left a suggestion. This is wonderful.
I'm just going right now and checking. I'm pulling up. It was on Patreon.
Cool.
For some reason, I want to say Tanya, but that's not right. And the person that's listening knows right now. They're like, yeah, Chris, that's not it. Like, yes, I know. Hold on.
Who could it be?
Taylor.
Was it Taylor?
Was it?
Was it Tara? Was it Sonia? It kind of sounds like Tanya.
I'm trying to find out which one it was. Hold on. I will find it. Now I'm determined. I will find it. Give me a second.
If you have more suggestions, we're very open.
yeah.
We aim to please. So please suggest us more stuff. Like, and it can even be like really off the walls. We don't care. We want to hear your suggestions, all of them.
Oh yeah, it was Taylor. Yes, it was Taylor. Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you.
Yay.
Yay.
But also thank you to Sonia, because Sonia does comment on our stuff too. Hi, Sonia.
Thank you, Sonia.
Yeah. That's it for our misconceptions. And yeah, if you haven't already, make sure you check out our book over at trexplorer.com/books. Get your guidebooks for the parks and plan the best trip. And before we go, though, we're going to thank some wonderful explorers over on Patreon. So if you want to support the show, head on over to patreon.com/TDRnow. So a big thank you to Acro Disney Girl, Adam, Amanda C, Amy B, Amy C, Mom Explorer, Benjamin, Brent M, Carrie, Chris B, Claire, Claudia, Dave, David, Baker, Kevin, Harry, Marina, Beth, Eli, Robinson, Taylor, and Mel.
And Jamie, Jose, Kathy, Lee, Marie, Michelle, Marie, Sophie, Spoopy, Thomas, Kay, Alexandra, Lizzie, Amy and Andy, Dana, Cassandra, Annie, Sonia, WW, Paige, Adelaide, Tara, and Nina.
And if you haven't already, make sure you tap that subscribe or follow button on your podcast app of choice. That way you don't miss any of our new episodes. Our explorers, I'm one of your hosts, Chris. I'm the one that is, traumatized by sliding doors, I guess, during my time at a Japanese high school 20 years ago. And joining as always is the wonderful Patricia.
Hey, guys. I'm the one eating sakura mochi because it's the doll festival today and it's super yummy. Let us know again what you think some misconceptions, maybe even some misconceptions of your home parks, if you're like at one of the parks that are overseas for us, like Hong Kong Disneyland or Shanghai or Disney World or California Disneyland or Paris. And let us know if you live here, what are the misconceptions that we missed? And until then, keep exploring.
All right, explorers, we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.